When fascism succeeded in Italy, communist seers simply declared, "This is it." At the Fourth Congress of the Communist International in 1922, less than a month after the March on Rome, long before Mussolini consolidated power, the assembled communists settled on this interpretation with little debate over the actual facts on the ground. That the defeated Italian Reds had already spread the rumor that their former comrade had betrayed the movement for his 30 pieces of silver only made the self-serving myth easier to swallow. Convinced that they alone were on the side of the people, the Reds responded to every political defeat by asking, "Cui bono? Who benefits?" The answer had to be the ruling capitalists. Fascism thus became a convenient label for desperate capitalists. Ever since, whenever the left has met with political defeat, it has cried, "Fascism," and insisted the fat cats were secretly pulling the strings. Max Horkheimer, the Frankfurt School Freudian Marxist, declared that no anti-capitalist theories of fascism could even be entertained. Whoever is not prepared to talk about capitalism should also remain silent about fascism. Central to all socialist theories of fascism, writes the historian Martin Kitchen, is the insistence on the close relationship between fascism and industry. Yale's Henry Ashby Turner calls this an ideological straitjacket that constrains virtually all Marxist-influenced scholarship, almost without exception. These writings suffer, as do those of orthodox Marxists, from over-reliance on questionable, if not fraudulent, scholarship, and from egregious misrepresentation of factual information. In point of fact, there is zero evidence that Mussolini was the pawn of monolithic big capitalism. Far from being uniformly supportive of fascism, big business was bitterly divided right up until Mussolini seized power. Fascist intellectuals, moreover, were openly contemptuous of capitalism and laissez-faire economics. The socialist mythology became even cruder in response to Nazism. Hitler's success horrified the communists, though not because the communists were delicate little flowers. Nazi tactics in the 1920s were no more barbaric than communist tactics. What terrified the Reds was the fact that the Browns were beating them at their own game. Like Macy's bad-mouthing Gimbels, the Bolsheviks and their sympathizers mounted a desperate campaign to discredit Nazism. Marxist prophecy, it turned out, also made for good propaganda. Stalin personally issued orders never to use the word socialist when referring to fascists, even when fascists routinely identified themselves as socialists, and later, under the doctrine of social fascism, instructed followers to dub all competing progressive and socialist ideologies fascist. Meanwhile, the left-wing press in Germany and throughout the West became a transmission belt for one bogus rumor after another that German industrialists were bankrolling the mad corporal and his brown shirts.